Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are looking at finding purpose in our pain, especially when we're in seasons of waiting. And we're basing this off a wonderful movie. It came out in late February. It's based off a true story that happened up in the Louisville, Kentucky area. The movie was called Ordinary Angels. Unfortunately, I don't think it's in the theaters anymore, but I know it's available. You can find it different places online, and I hope that you will check it out. You'll really, really be blessed by it. And we're looking at some things we can learn from that movie, Ordinary Angels, about purpose in our pain. And we've been looking at John chapter 11. Been hanging out there. If you got your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 11, and we're looking at four things that we can learn during our season of waiting. And yesterday we wrapped up the program with starting our first point, and we talked about from everyone's perspective, there's waiting. From everyone's perspective, there is waiting. And today I want to start looking at a second thing that we can learn when we're waiting. And I don't know about you, I don't like to wait patiently, but the fact of this side of heaven, friends, we do have to wait. And man, when we can wait patiently, it shows a real sign of maturity. But the second thing I think we can take away during a season of waiting and from John chapter 11 is from the disciples' perspective, they're wondering. From the disciples' perspective, they're wondering. We talked about first, from everyone's perspective, there's waiting. Secondly, from the disciples' perspective, they're wondering. Jesus then explains to his disciples in John chapter 11 that Lazarus is sleeping, but they don't understand his veiled reference to the fact that Lazarus had died. And they are wondering, they're confused why Jesus stayed and didn't go help them. Look at verse 14 in John chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. It says, "So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to Lazarus now." Jesus is setting up what's going to unfold, friends, in a few days later, but the disciples have no idea what will unfold. And this is foreshadowing. Jesus wants to make it very clear, "I waited so that you would believe." You know, I want to pause here for a moment. You know, there's often more questions than there are answers. And in some situations, that's how it will be until we are in heaven one day. And all the pain and frustration then will make more sense to us. Sometimes on this side of heaven, friends, we just don't have the answers. And life or death doesn't make sense. Maybe you're in a season right now where you're just numb and the pain is so potent that you're merely trying to survive. And I've been there myself, friends, and I know that most of you listening or watching online on our YouTube channel that, man, you've been there too. But here in our text in John 11, at this point, everyone is wondering, but please realize that God is still on his throne, and even when it appears that God is silent, he is there, friends. I want to remind you again today that God is still on the throne, even when it appears he is silent. A third thing I think we can learn from this passage in John chapter 11 about Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Jesus and waiting. The third thing I think we can take away from this is from your perspective, you're wounded. You know, when you're waiting like Mary and Martha are on Jesus, and you're like, come on, why is it taking him so long? Because you're like, you know, man, I'm wounded. I'm hurting. And so when Jesus arrived at Bethany, Mary came out to meet him, and she said something to Jesus. Later, when the other sister Mary came out to meet Jesus, she said something to him also. But you know what's so amazing? Apart from each other, both sisters said the same exact thing to Jesus. In John chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, 21, and I'm sorry, and then in verse 32, both of them said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Friends, how many times have we said that to people out loud? You know, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. Sometimes it's true, and sometimes not completely true. But you know what? There was frustration, anger, and pain, and I think their tone probably conveyed an acknowledgement that they were let down. I mean, you know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's what they were saying outwardly, but I think inwardly their hearts were screaming, "Where were you? Why didn't you come when we asked you to come?" I mean, they're like, you know, we waited, we were wondering, and now we're wounded because now it's too late. You know, the psalmist verbalizes how often we feel at times when he writes in Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" And then Psalm 119, verse 84, David just cries out to God, "How long must your servant wait?" So friends, today, while you're waiting, wondering, and wounded, you remain faithful and you keep your focus on Jesus. You trust his timetable, not yours. You've experienced some "how long, Lord" seasons in your life where you felt sidelined. Like, "How long until my marriage gives life instead of draining life? How long until my son or daughter stops rebelling? How long until my 401k starts climbing instead of falling? Or how long do I finally get to buy that wedding dress and walk down the aisle?" You know, friends, your faith can give way to frustration. You say, "How long?" Did you know that that phrase, "How long," appears some 20 times in the Psalms? And I love it because, friends, David is just being raw and he's being honest during a difficult and lengthy season of his life. So whether it's the future king of Israel, David, or two sisters who were close to Jesus, or whether it's you trying to determine your next step in following God's will, here's what I know. The delay of the divine can be frustrating to his followers. But the more we realize the character of our timeless, eternal God, the better understanding we'll have when we are waiting, wondering, and wounded. Let's go back to John 11, and we'll remember what we learned, that separately both Mary and Martha each say, "If you had not been here, my brother would not have died." When Martha says it, Jesus responds by affirming to her that he is the resurrection and the life. When Mary says it, though, Jesus becomes emotional and begins to cry with her. So both sisters make the same exact statement, but Jesus responds differently to each one. Why? Because everyone processes the hurts of life differently. We'll say that again. Somebody I know listening or watching on our YouTube channel today, watching online, needed to hear that. Because everyone processes the hurts of life differently. Jesus knows what you need, friends. Martha needed the lesson, and Mary needed love. Ooh, that's so good. Martha needed a lesson, and Mary needed love. I don't know about you, friends, but I find great comfort in knowing that Jesus knows exactly what each of us need. Rest assured, God will meet you in your waiting room with what you need to process the pain. Throughout this series that we're going to do over the next couple Mondays and Tuesdays, friends, we've been given, you know, you're going to be given permission to really look deep inside your heart and just say, "You know what, Lord, is there a purpose in my pain? Is there a purpose in my doubt? Also, is there a purpose in my brokenness?" And friends, I'm so thankful that Jesus meets us right where we're at. And, you know, sometimes we get wounded, and there's a powerful scene in the movie Ordinary Angels, and basically Ed looks up and just says, "You know, a lot of good of faith, a lot of good my faith's doing me." And he talked to his mother about, you know, why his precious young wife in her late 30s died, and said she's over on 70 different prayer lists, people praying for healing, and it never happened. And so just in anger, Ed just says, "You know, a lot of good that my faith's been doing me." And yet, you know, sometimes, friends, we're like that. You know, God, you've asked me to boldly be an employee with integrity, and now I might get downsized because the boss says my honesty is hurting ourselves. Or maybe today you're like, you know, God, your word tells me to tithe, give a 10% of my income to the church, and you provide, and that you're going to provide. Well, God, guess what? I'm waiting. Or you, maybe today you're like, you know, Lord, you want me to get involved in church, but the truth is my unchurched friends have been more loving than my Christian friends. And you're tempted to say, just like Ed in the movie Ordinary Angels, a lot of good my faith's been doing me. And so, friends, if you see the movie, if you've seen it, you know how God chooses to intervene. It's through a woman who feels called to get involved and Sharon Evans and just help out these total strangers. And really, like I said, I would encourage you to check it out. But let's get back to our story in John 11 because we only got a couple minutes left. Jesus tells them to roll away the stone. And, you know, you got to know that people are just kind of going, hello, Jesus. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. I know you missed the visitation, but I want to remind you what that's going to be like. And I'm not much of a King James Version, guys, but I think it's very appropriate for this way it said. Martha looked at Jesus and said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. I'm sorry to laugh, but it's not a word you hear often, right? And yes, I know it's kind of crass, but, you know, it was true. They removed that tombstone after somebody had been dead four days. But Jesus does say, Lazarus, come out. And obviously he does. He comes out in a matter of seconds, and he walks out in his grave clothes. And, you know, I'll tell you on a lighthearted note, it's a good thing Jesus just said, Lazarus, come out, because if he hadn't specified Lazarus, the entire cemetery would have walked out of their graves at the command of the Lord of life. You can imagine just everybody's jaw would be on the ground. And it was when they saw Lazarus because they couldn't believe what they had witnessed. As we wrap up things here, I want to recap real quickly what we've looked at yesterday and today. Number one, from everyone's perspective, there's waiting. From the disciples' perspective, they're wondering. And number three, perhaps from your perspective, you're wounded. But friends, last but not least, point number four, from God's perspective, he's working. What appears to be apathy is the unfolding of Jesus' plan. At the heart of why Jesus waited is that he wants people to realize that he is the Messiah. That at the heart of why he stayed put for two more days and lateness on closer end of investigation is actually genuine love. Jesus loves people so much that he wanted them to see with their own eyes and know in their mind and feel in their heart that he was the Messiah. And I'm going to close today with this favorite Bible verse of mine, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul explains what can result from the hurts in our life. In Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And friends, I've had to stand on that promise many, many times, and maybe that's where you're at today. And so I just want to remind you, friends, that all things do work together, that there's a bigger purpose in our lives for all of us. We just need to look around to see where Jesus is working. And just know that Jesus, even with a situation like Lazarus, even though Mary and Martha had to wait, that Jesus showed up and he was going to help them. So friends, stay in faith today. Don't doubt Jesus' love for you. And know that God is always there for you and there's always hope because of Jesus. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Did you know that Hope Is Here is also available on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter? You can find all of these at Hope Is Here Lex. Also, check out the daily 1-minute Cup of Hope, available on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. That helps you keep your cup hopeful. To find out more information, go to our website, www.hopeishere.today.org. That's www.hopeishere.today.org.